It is 9 March. It's Wednesday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Midweek Prophecy Report. The next big thing. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we got our first article from the Jerusalem Post, but before I give that to you, I want to remind you that Saturday is the day when you spring forward. Your clocks go forward 1 hour, which means you're going to lose an hour of sleep, but that's okay. Make sure that you set your clocks forward so you are not late for church on Sunday, whether you attend streaming online or if you attend in the church. If you're late to the church, you'll get beaten with 10 lashes of a wet noodle, but please be sure to put your clock forward Saturday night. All right, Jerusalem Post, with the world in crisis, Israel steps up. Analysis. Okay, they gave this long analysis from the Jerusalem Post, and they were all excited about how Bennett went over to Russia and did some negotiations concerning the Ukraine war. And I have to tell you what, I took a completely different or opposite approach than the Jerusalem Post. They're all happy about this and thinking they're moving up in the world. Well, this is just setting up the end times, and it will not be a good thing that he did, I believe. Israel now is a serious world player. With that, however, comes serious responsibility. By flying to Moscow on Saturday, Bennett put Israel on the map in terms of international diplomacy. That he made the trip on Shabbat, which is a Sabbath, unheard of for Israeli politicians, even more so for one who is Shabbat observant. It underlined the life and death urgency of the trip. Well, I have to tell you what, Shabbat is a moral code in Israel. Everybody knows this. Anybody that knows a Jew and has to deal with them understands this. And for Bennett to have done this on a Sabbath is not a good thing. They are going to see weakness in him. They're going to see that he is not willing to stand up to his own moral code. And because of that, they will take advantage of that. If he stays the prime minister, they're going to say, we've got somebody that has no morals, and he is willing to let go one of the principal tenets of Judaism. That, along with circumcision, are the two principal tenets, and he has thrown one of them to the wind over this. He thought he was doing a good thing. I think it's exactly the opposite. And he is under the law. People who are not in Christ, I'm talking about Jews who are not in Christ, are under the law of Moses. They've been under the law of Moses for the past 2,000 years under the curses of Deuteronomy 28 for not receiving Christ. Okay? He is bound to this law, as it says in the book of James, who James was a Jew, even though he was a believer in Christ. He was a Jew, and he wrote about the things of the law in contrast to the grace of Christ. He said, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Bennett did the wrong thing on several levels in order to get 10 minutes of acclaim, and he is going to pay for it in the end. I am absolutely sure of this. He needs to come to Christ and be forgiven of his law breaking, but at the same time, he also has actually marred the position that he holds as the Prime Minister of Israel because of what he did. And I believe this will be panned out. Anyway, Epic Times. South Korea's March 9 election. March 9 election will determine whether nation pivots to China or the West, says North Korean defector. South Korea is an ally of ours. They are having an election, and things may go one way or another. And this will affect a lot if they go towards the commie CCP. And this is something that I'm sure that the guy in the White House right now is watching himself, because they want the globalists to take over. They want the people that favor China to take over. And we'll be watching this, and we'll see what happens with it. But this is an important issue that will affect many other things. The presidential election set to take place in South Korea on March 9th is of critical importance to the future of the nation as the CCP, meaning the commies in China, seeks to extend its influence over both North and South Korea. That's according to Arthur Lee, who defected from North Korea when he was 29. I think this upcoming election is very important because we're kind of at a crossroads where we are either going to be a free nation or become a one-party dictatorship. Lee said, in South Korea's widely anticipated election, the eighth since the country officially adopted democracy, the leading candidates are a guy named Lee of the ruling Democrat Party, a guy named Yoon of the People Power Party, and a guy named Sim of the Justice Party. The current president, Moon Jae-in, is ineligible under South Korea's constitution to seek another term. Yoon Suk-yeol and Lee Jae-myung are widely seen as the frontrunners in an extremely tight and closely watched race, and they bring markedly different foreign policy and diplomatic agendas to the table. Yoon, the People Power Party candidate, is seen as hawkish on China and North Korea, while Democrat Party candidate Lee is viewed as favoring cooperation. In Arthur Lee's view, the Democrat Party candidate's stance goes much further and emphasizes assisting and appeasing Beijing as the regime of Xi Jinping seeks to insinuate its power and influence even further through both Koreas. Lee said that Chinese communist ideology is already spread far through South Korea, as evidenced by the fact that the country is home to 22 Confucius Institutes, more than any other nation. These Beijing-funded institutes, while ostensibly a Chinese language and culture center, have provoked growing alarm internationally over their role in transmitting CCP propaganda and suppressing academic freedom. Culturally, they are already infected by the CCP regime. And there are also officials in South Korea with ties to Chinese money. So I think that many in South Korea, especially politicians, are reluctant to criticize China. Economically, militarily, and culturally, China is attacking South Korea, he said. In Lee's view, CCP officials also want to drive a wedge between South Korea and Japan, because they fear that people in China continue to see two prosperous democrat capitalist nations so close to their own borders, it could set a bad example for them. Okay, they don't want these people to be prosperous. They don't want these people to be democratic and free societies. And so they are trying to subvert South Korea right now, driving a wedge between South Korea and Japan, and ultimately between the United States and our allies over there. We'll have to monitor that. From GB News, China urges U.S. to reveal details of U.S.-backed biological labs in Ukraine, including types of viruses stored. Well, my thought is that as long as they're willing to do exactly the same with the stuff that they've been hiding for us for the past 2 years, which Fauci has been hiding for us, then we can go ahead and comply with that. But that will never happen. The Chinese have gotten us into a mess in this country and in this world, and they will not let us see anything that's going on over there. So no way, Jose. All right. Gateway Pundit. Pete Buttigieg says buying oil from Iran is on the table as Biden imposes restrictions on domestic drilling. I mentioned this, that lady Psaki had said something kind of leaning towards this, and now Buttigieg has said the same thing. He says all options are on the table. Then he dropped this gem. We have to make sure we're not galloping after permanent solutions to immediate short-term problems. They don't want to permanently fix anything. They want the short-term to keep us going and keep us guessing as to what they're going to do next, but no permanent solutions. If they were looking for permanent solutions, they would not have put Biden up in the White House. That's for sure. This guy wants to destroy the foundational underpinnings of the United States of America, and he's going to do it through the things we're going to talk about today. From the Epoch Times, U.S. hopes to secure oil from Russia-allied Venezuela. Now, I just talked about Venezuela on Sunday, if you remember that. We were talking about how Russia went in there just before going to the Ukraine, and they made contacts with Cuba and with all of the other South American and Latin American countries that are in cohorts with them. And now, all of a sudden, isn't this odd that we're going down there to meet with this guy? A high-powered delegation from the U.S. met with Venezuelan Socialist President Maduro and Vice President Rodriguez on March 5th to discuss the potential easing of sanctions and alternative oil resources. The group of emissaries from the U.S., led by top White House Latin American advisor Juan Gonzalez and Ambassador James Story, also included six CITGO executives and special presidential envoy for hostage affairs, Roger Carstens, who attended to address the release of American citizens and dual nationals being held in Venezuela. The Washington delegates arrived at a delicate time since U.S. lawmakers are pressuring the admin of Biden to restart the Keystone XL pipeline project in an attempt to ease skyrocketing gas prices in the wake of Russia's war in the Ukraine. The first thing he did when he became president almost was to shut down the XL pipeline because he does not want America to succeed. Donald Trump, for the first time in our history, made us energy independent. We were actually exporting energy, and we had enough to run this nation all on our own. And as soon as Biden got in, he stopped all of that. And he has frustrated oil producers all over this country continuously with mine development, with new mine development, with increasing output in mines. He has done everything he can to destroy the oil sector of the United States of America. Moreover, the U.S. representatives arrived just days after the Venezuelan leader voiced his avid support of Russian President Vladimir Putin's military invasion of Ukraine. The controversial Venezuelan head of state pledged to sell Putin everything he needs to maintain the war in Ukraine and decried the sanctions against Russia, which has caused soaring petrol and gas prices worldwide. Maduro also hosted a meeting with Russian officials the week before Putin launched a full-scale attack on the Ukraine on February 24th. As I said, we talked about that just Sunday, and now we have this coming out. During a tour with allied regimes in the region, which includes Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua, the Russian Deputy Prime Minister Yuri Borisov talked about deepening economic and military ties with Venezuela. And lo and behold, now we're down there a couple weeks later doing exactly the same thing because everybody is working in cohorts to effect the globalist agenda in the world today. That is what's going on. I had mentioned it. It's correct. And now the U.S. is getting involved in it as well. From Dan Bongino, Biden admin courts Venezuela, Iran, and Saudi Arabia for oil while ignoring U.S. producers. That's exactly what is going on. That's what I've been saying. He's saying it now as well, is that our U.S. oil has been almost destroyed by Biden because he wants the globalist agenda to take over. They're doing it through this. They're doing it through the supposed green movement, which is no movement at all. It's just a way of introducing globalism. Epic Times. Canadian premier says Biden should opt out for oil from his province over Saudi Arabia, Venezuela. The Canadian premier says that we should take his oil and not that down there. It's a resource. It's already available, but the Keystone pipeline is cut. And all he says is just hook it up. It won't take that long and we'll have all the oil you need. Once again, Zero Hedge. Canada says its oil could replace U.S. imports of Russian crude. Russian crude is only 7% of the oil that comes into the United States. We could replace it almost immediately, but that's not going to happen. All it would take is approval of the Keystone XL pipeline. Exactly what I've been saying, exactly what other people have been saying is what needs to happen, and it will not happen because we cannot allow the United States to prosper so that we will be in a lower position when the globalist agenda takes over elsewhere in the world. Okay, Psaki up in the White House. Psaki claims Keystone XL pipeline would make no difference for rising gas prices. Absolutely untrue. And even if it didn't, we'd be cutting off Russia and stopping their supply of gas coming to us. But that's not going to happen because these people are communists in the White House of the United States of America. Every single one of them in that administration, every one of them, they're communists. They should be arrested. They should be put on trial. And then we ought to do whatever you do with commies that want to infiltrate your society because these people do not want America to prosper. They took a vow to protect and defend this nation, and they have not done it. They've done exactly the opposite. From Breitbart, White House rejects idea of boosting domestic oil production to lower gas prices. Of course they do, because it would be the wrong thing to meet their globalist agenda. Breitbart, GOP Senator Marshall. Biden's war on U.S. oil means we're funding the evil axis of Russia, China, and Iran. And that is exactly what we're doing. We are funding the evil axis of Russia, China, and Iran, and Venezuela. We're getting these people that do not love democracy, they do not love the United States of America, to make our money out of our pockets. Our resources are going to fund them. From the Washington Free Beacon, Russia involved in plot to help Iran bust U.S. oil sanctions. Sanctioned Russian tankers are carrying illicit Iranian oil, providing a fresh financial lifeline for Tehran and highlighting significant gaps in the Biden admin's enforcement of sanctions. There are no gaps. He hasn't enforced any sanctions at all. This is a purposeful, willful, intentional thing that he is doing over there with Iran. We talked about that on Sunday as well, where China is importing hundreds of thousands of barrels every single day from Iran, which is not allowed according to the law, and yet Biden has done nothing about it. Actually, he's probably helped them along in the process. Russia's been involved in this as well. Now we see. The two tankers, named the Pegas and Linda, were recently sanctioned as a part of U.S. efforts to isolate Russian businesses over the Ukrainian invasion. It has now become apparent that the two ships have been ferrying illicit Iranian crude oil in recent months, a move experts see as a scheme to evade U.S. sanctions and signal an increase in Tehran-Moscow relations. Russia's involvement in the shipment of sanctioned Iranian crude oil highlights the growing ties between both regimes, especially as Moscow faces international isolation for its unprovoked invasion of Ukraine. Listen, I just sent an article to a friend. He hasn't responded on it yet, but how interesting. The article said that Russia is bogged down in the Ukraine. They've lost dozens and dozens of high-tech aircraft like fighter jets and helicopters. Heck, you can go online and you can watch them get blown up. They're getting shot out of the sky. They've got hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 vehicles that have been destroyed. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of equipment. The Russian ruble is worth almost nothing right now. Everybody's saying that the Russian economy is going to tank and Putin's going to get replaced. Why would he put himself into this type of a position knowing that this would occur? It's because other things are in play, and we're going to see some of them today as we continue along. Other things are in play that will take care of Russia, and they will be back in the limelight very soon. I am absolutely certain of this. And when they are, eventually they will come together with Iran, who they're working with right now on other issues. They're going to come together with Libya and other countries, and they're going to come against Israel. This is what the Bible prophesies. But until that happens, we've got these things showing up on the screen, like the Russia-Ukraine war, in order to get us prepared for what is coming. As Russia is choked off from Western financial institutions, it is likely to further bolster Tehran's illicit sanctions-busting schemes to help it offset international sanctions. The anti-U.S. alliance between these rogue nations is generating scrutiny amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine and efforts by the Biden admin to ink a revamped version of the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, an agreement that will provide the hardline regime in Tehran with billions of dollars in cash windfalls. Iran's going to get that money. Russia's going to get that money. Anything they've lost during this war, they can replace with what we are going to be giving them as soon as this comes about. Russia's emerged as the U.S.'s, a country that we're supposedly not liking right now, has emerged as the U.S.'s top interlocutor in these talks, drawing outrage from many hawks in Congress who want to see Moscow completely isolated. Biden is fully aware of this. He knows exactly what is going on, but he is a globalist. He wants the destruction of the United States because he wants his son. He's old. He's going to be put into an old folks home very soon. He doesn't have any brain left. It's just putting up there. But when he is taken out through old age or through retirement or whatever happens to the guy, he wants Hunter to take over and be in the elites. And this is how he is doing it. He is setting up the Democrat Party to be the elites in America. We'll have other elites around the world. Hunter will be one of them. And he is setting all of this up. Now, as I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not one that just makes stuff up and says, oh, you know, he said this and so I believe it. This is all out in the open. If you just look at the pieces of what's going on, we'll go on and you'll see more of it. From JTN, amid Ukraine crisis, Biden partnering with Russia to revive Iran deal thwart U.S. opponents, say experts. Now, this is what I had mentioned on Sunday. This is what is being done by the person in the White House right now to subvert future presidents from being able to back out of the agreement that he is going to put together. But it's not a treaty if it's not approved by the Senate of the United States. It didn't get approved when Obama was president, and Trump was able to pull out of that treaty, which was the right thing to do. But Biden wants this to not be pulled out of, even if a new president comes in. How is he going to do that? He's going to subvert the next president of the United States, and he's going to subvert the political machine of the right in this nation by doing what he's doing. He is actually committing an act which I believe could be considered as treason against the United States of America. That's what I would say. As Biden condemns Russia's invasion of Ukraine and publicly threatens Moscow with escalating punitive measures, his administration is quietly collaborating with the Russians to revive the Iran nuclear deal and undermine future U.S. presidents who might withdraw from it, which they can if the Senate has not ratified it. The U.S. has partnered with Russia to get a new nuclear deal with Iran. This includes secret talks with the Russians over the last year and agreements where Russia would hold the uranium enriched by Iran and give it back to Iran if a future Republican president backed out of a new nuclear deal. In other words, rearm immediately Iran because you've pulled out of the deal. That is treasonous against the United States because these people are enemies of the United States. President Trump withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal in 2018. The Biden admin has been working with Russia to get it to undermine a future Republican president by helping Iran's nuclear program. It appears Iran would send enriched uranium stockpiles to Russia on condition Russia would return the stockpile if the U.S. reimposes terrorism sanctions. Earlier this year, the Biden admin said it was aware of a Russian proposal for an interim nuclear deal with Iran without sharing details, causing House Republicans to demand the administration share what it knows. And they're not going to because they want to get this deal done. They want to get Iran where it can build a bomb, and no way for the next president who has a brain to be able to stop what they are doing. They are purposefully intending on arming Iran, who is a threat to Israel. Gateway pundit, lead Russian negotiator caught on tape. This is just a day ago. Caught on tape bragging about how Iran, Russia, and China teamed up to screw the United States and deliver huge wins for the Iranian nuclear program. You can watch this video yourself at the Gateway Pundit. Elections have consequences. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. On Monday, the lead Russian negotiator was caught on video bragging about how Russia, Iran, and China teamed up to deliver huge wins for Iran's nuclear program in talks with the Biden regime. Could the Biden regime be any worse if they tried? Are they purposely trying to destroy America? The answer is yes. Yes, they are trying to destroy the United States of America. We do not fit with their globalist agenda. This is probably, this next article is probably the hook in the jaw, which will drag Gog Magog down to Israel. Speculation, but listen, for years, people were saying, oh, we got to watch Iraq. That's where all the problems are in Israel. And, you know, all these key players are in play and Gog Magog is going to happen because of Iraq. And I said all along, I've said this for 10 years during these reports now, watch Iran. That is who you watch. Iraq is not mentioned in the Battle of Gog Magog. Guess what? Iran is. It's known as Persia. All right? Persia, Russia, Turkey, Libya, the Sudan. These people are all going to form an alliance and come against Israel. And this is all being set up right now. And this may be the hook in the jaw. A total disaster. Why the Iran nuclear deal will spark an even greater geopolitical crisis. The deal's terms, according to former Iran official at the State Department, Gabriel Noronha, who quit in disgust seeing it hatched out, is driven by Russia, which, along with China, is helping Iran evade sanctions. It will allegedly include removing sanctions on human rights abusers and designated terror groups such as the IRGC, allow Iran to buy tens of billions of dollars of Russian weaponry to develop ballistic missiles, and offers no tougher controls on nuclear development. Noronha's full explanation can be found here, and they give the link. So, in 2031, if not sooner, and I would think it would probably be sooner, given it reportedly has already 60% of the processed uranium needed for a bomb, something we've talked about many times in this church, every warns that Iran will be a nuclear breakout state, able to get one when it wants. Every neck says to look at the reaction from U.S.-friendly UAE under attack from Iranian proxies at the UN Security Council, from U.S.-friendly Saudi Arabia under attack from Iran proxies via an interview with its de facto ruler prince, MBS, in The Atlantic, where he threatens to stop investment in the United States and do more in China. Does Joe Biden misunderstand something about him? Simply, I do not care, MBS replied. It's up to him to think about the interests of America. He gave a shrug. Go for it. And from U.S. ally Israel, under attack from Iranian proxies, which state it will ignore any deal and act as needed. The risks are that rather than lowering oil prices and preventing war against an Iran whose economy has been so flattened by sanctions the U.S. is now imposing on Russia, so do they work or do they not work? According to Biden, sanctions don't work against Iran, but now he's sanctioning Russia. So either they do work or they don't, but only when they want to fit their agenda. A new nuclear deal is more likely to lead to war and see oil soar to new record highs. Every concludes that the deal also suggests the risk of the U.S. losing critical allies at a time when sides are being taken, on which Russia is to hold the first international anti-fascist congress in August this year, inviting the Saudis, China, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, Iran, and other stalwart defenders of democracy and human rights, as a mirror image of the recent U.S. summit of democracies. India has been invited to both. And while the U.S. and India collaborate on the Quad against China, something we talked about Sunday, yesterday saw U.S. reports suggest D.C. may sanction New Delhi for buying Russian weapons. Russia is all over these connections right now. China is all over these connections right now. And Iran is all over these connections right now. And they're branching out to all of these other nations, getting ready to do what they're going to do. Everything that we're seeing in the Ukraine right now, as sad as it is because of the people that are being killed, is a distraction. They are setting this up for the end times. From the Washington Examiner, Iran plotting assassination of John Bolton, others, even while Biden negotiates a nuclear deal. At least two Iranians belonging to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard's Covert Action Quds Force, which is their overseas force, have been plotting to assassinate former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The DOJ possesses indictable evidence against the Iranians, but that Biden admin officials are resisting publicly indicting the men for fear that it could derail their drive for a nuclear deal with Iran. So we've got real valid threats against high-ranking officials in the United States of America, and Biden is doing nothing. They're not indicting these people. They're not doing anything about it because they need to get this thing into action first, this deal with Iran, which will help Iran immensely, which will help Russia immensely. Russia is going to get all of the money. The billions that are going to Iran are going to be going to Russia because Russia is going to be selling them their weaponry. Everything is pointing to money leaving the United States of America and going over there to fund what is coming. All of it. These are sealed indictments against the men, but the DOJ source said the seriousness of the conspiracy and the evidence warranted public indictment without delay. Sealed indictments would be unusual and probably unnecessary in this case, as they are usually used to prevent the target evading justice. The Quds Force is fully aware of U.S. law, enforcement, and intelligence attention toward it, so its members are unlikely to put themselves in a position to be arrested with or without a sealed indictment. The Washington Examiner is withholding some details of the plot against Bolton for national security reasons, but the DOJ source described it in highly specific terms as supported by significant Revolutionary Guard reconnaissance activity and involved an effort to recruit an assassin on U.S. soil. A Justice Department official told the Washington Examiner that it would be categorically false to claim that these kinds of policy considerations would drive such a charging decision. Oh no, they'd never let politics get involved in what they're doing. No way, they're above that. Absolute lies what are coming out of the DOJ right now. They are sold out to the communists, along with the CIA and along with the high-ranking people in the U.S. military. None of them care because they're getting positions in the globalist government when that comes along, or they think they are. We're going to see what happens. But this is all coming to a head. And I'm telling you what a week of information. We got so much more to go. Zero Hedge, a large-scale false flag cyber attack now imminent. This is a really interesting article. It was written by Brandon Smith of the Alt Market. And he's been right about a lot of things over the past couple of years. He writes very good articles. Sometimes he gets a little too far out on things, but he's got a couple of things in here that you really need to hear. What he thinks is coming, and he thinks it's coming really soon. In early 2021, at the height of media-generated COVID fear, the WEF released a series of panel discussions and white papers outlining a pandemic of a completely different nature, what they referred to as an impending cyber attack with COVID-like characteristics. The program agenda at the WEF was titled Cyber Polygon and headed with an unsettling zeal by globalist Klaus Schwab. The WEF and Schwab are best known for two things. Actually, before I tell you those two things, remember, this is the guy that I just mentioned on Sunday. A member of the Parliament of Canada stood up in the Parliament and asked, why is it that Klaus Schwab is bragging about having control over half of the Parliament of Canada? And he got shut down immediately. And he did that right on a video. We've got him right on video. It's not like the guy in Parliament was crazy or anything. He was just citing what is in an open video proclaimed by this guy Schwab. He's got his fingers in the pie, and he's trying to control what is going on in order to set the globalist agenda. They failed with COVID. They're going to try with something else. Here we go. Their involvement, these are the two things that he was referring to, their involvement in a war game called Event 201, which simulated the global spread of a coronavirus pandemic. The simulation was held 2 months before the real thing happened in early 2020, and a majority of the measures played out in the game were in fact implemented almost immediately following the outbreak. Klaus Schwab's excited announcement that the pandemic was the perfect opportunity to institute what he calls the Great Reset of the global economy, along with the rise of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is the complete centralization of world trade and governance into a global socialist empire where you will own nothing, have no privacy, and like it. That is his words. The fact that the WEF was so prescient when it came to the COVID pandemic was quite a miracle. It was almost as if they knew it was going to happen, and their political friends in various nations wasted no time carrying out their draconian mandate policies around the world. But something happened that seemed to throw a monkey wrench into the plan. Event 201 predicted an initial death toll of around 65 million people, but this didn't happen. In fact, the median infection fatality rate of COVID was only 0.27%. COVID wasn't killing enough people, and the public was starting to question the efficacy of the lockdowns. The useless mask rules and the need to take an experimental mRNA vaccine with no longer-term testing to prove its safety. I said this at least 20 or 30 times in the past year, that it was six Republican governors in the United States of America that completely stopped their agenda. If it wasn't for them, they would have taken over with the COVID pandemic that they initiated against the people of the world. Okay? They are behind this. This is not a conspiracy. They've admitted this openly. They talk about it openly. Six governors took care of this for us. They need to be applauded for what they did. Noam and the guy down in Texas, Abbott. And then we've got DeSantis here and we've got Ducey. A couple of governors said, we're not going to play ball with this stupid agenda. And it stopped what was going on. Why? Because people up north are all wearing their masks and getting their shots, but they want to go on vacation to somewhere nice. So they come down to Florida and they see nobody's wearing masks. Everybody's walking around and it's normal. Everything is okay. So they go back up there and they say, what's going on? Why is it okay down there and not up here? And then people from other countries see that Florida is open because of things like the Superior Word CG report. They watch from Australia and they say, there's no problem here. Well, Australia was sold out. New Zealand was sold out. Canada was sold out. They're all but gone because the people ceded their rights. They first did it by giving up their guns. And then after that, they allowed the government to take over during the COVID pandemic. And because of that, they have given up all of their rights. New measures have been instituted. They may never come back for those people. But the United States of America did not. And they did something that these other countries have not done. They have kept their gun rights. And so this is a problem for them. But what will probably happen, this is just a guess. This is complete speculation on my part. We have like 400 million guns in this country, and the rest of the world is going to get into compliance with this. And some of the people in America will, and some of them won't. And my guess is, this is just a guess, that there will be a civil war and people will just be wiping each other out. And so the rest of the world isn't going to have to worry about us. And Biden won't care diddly about it. He wants this global agenda. But that's my guess is what will happen. I doubt if enough people in this nation will stand up and say, you are not going to take away our rights. I just don't think that's going to happen. But we'll see. That's all speculation in future. But for right now, we'll go on. In the U.S. specifically, conservative states began to rise up and block the COVID agenda. In Florida, it lasted about a month, maybe a little bit less. This church here never closed. I said, you don't want to come? Don't come. We are never going to close this church, and we were open every single Sunday throughout the entire thing. Today, the CDC and the federal government have declared the removal of most mandates, and even leftist blue states are beginning to relent. However, most conservative red states have been without mandates for well over a year to a year and a half. We've been without restrictions this whole time, and the government is acting as if they have just allowed us to be free again. The truth is, the globalists at the WEF and their partners abroad failed in their efforts to institute medical tyranny, at least in the United States and in certain parts of Europe. And as I said, because it failed in certain parts of the states, it failed throughout all of the states. And because it failed throughout all of the states, all of the other countries realized this is not going to work, and they're opening up, and they're getting rid of their passports and their restrictions and their shots. All of that happened because of 6 or 7 Republican governors. If they were not in place, it would be over right now. I guarantee you that. But this is not what happened. The agenda collapsed because the science was against them in every respect. They had nothing. With 99.7% of people safe from COVID, it was impossible to engineer enough fear in enough of the population to get them to relinquish their freedoms. So, for those of us who have been tracking these events carefully, the alarm bells really started ringing when the WEF switched gears and suddenly shifted focus to a cyber attack narrative. Was this Plan B? In April of 2021, I published an article titled "The Globalists Will Need Another Crisis in America as Their Reset Agenda Fails." In that article, I outlined the most likely scenarios for the next disaster event, which included war in the Ukraine. He was absolutely right about that, as well as a global cyber attack that disrupts the supply chain. In that article, I stated, quote, "The media and the Biden admin are very busy trying to create tensions with Russia over Ukraine." This is Biden that has been behind them trying to create these tensions. "There are renewed tensions between Iran and Israel and continued destabilization by the West in Syria. And a rising danger of confrontation with China over Taiwan. There is a narrative advantage to global tensions. When presented with a foreign threat, are Americans more likely to reject notions of rebellion against government trespasses? I have no doubt that the establishment will try to claim the liberty movement is not a movement for freedom, but an astroturf movement created by the Russians to destabilize America. This has been the leftist media propaganda strategy for years now. So why should they stop?" In June of 2021, I wrote more specifically on the suspicious nature of Cyber Polygon in my article, "Cyber Polygon: Will the Next Globalist War Game Lead to Another Convenient Catastrophe?" Then in July of 2021, I wrote an article titled, "What if the next major cyber attack targeted the internet?" In it, I made this observation. In June of this year, there was an internet outage event that led to large swaths of the web going dark, including a number of mainstream news sites, Amazon, eBay, Twitch, Reddit, and a host of other government websites went down. All this happened when content delivery network company Fastly experienced a bug. Although Amazon had its website back online within 20 minutes, the brief outage cost the company over $5.5 million in sale in just 20 minutes, and that's just one website. Fastly identified and fixed the problem within 2 hours, and continues to claim the outage had nothing to do with the cyber attack. However, it did reveal a huge vulnerability for the internet. A large portion of the web is dependent on only three CDN companies, including Fastly. Here's what concerns me. If there was a cyber attack on such weak points in the web, and the attack involved a malicious worm or other highly infectious weapon, then Klaus Schwab could very well get his cyber pandemic. Today, the war tensions with Russia are now about to overflow, and I suspect it's only a matter of time before China also begins operations against Taiwan. But there's a much bigger threat on the horizon. I have little doubt at this time that a false flag attack on the US or Europe or both is now imminent. And what I mean by false flag is that the attack will be designed to benefit the globalists and not necessarily the country that is blamed for it. As I have noted in the past, Vladimir Putin is a longtime associate of numerous globalists. His friendship with the New World Order ghoul Henry Kissinger started decades ago, and they continue to meet for regular lunches as Kissinger acts as an advisor to multiple branches of the Kremlin. Putin has also maintained a steady relationship to the WEF, and Russia even joined Klaus Schwab's Fourth Industrial Revolution Network just last year. The claim Putin is an anti-globalist is a lie. He is deeply involved in the globalist system and always has been. The globalists are playing both sides of the Ukraine conflict. This is reality. It's very important to understand and accept this fact. Otherwise, you will not be able to grasp the events that happen next. Putin recently threatened Western governments with a reprisal, the likes of which they had never seen before, if they try to interfere in Ukraine. The problem is that many in the mainstream and alternative media automatically assumed that this was a threat of nuclear war. I don't think this is what Putin was referring to. I have another theory. The globalists are unlikely to spend the past several decades building up one of the most complex technocratic control grids in history to track and dominate the public, only to then annihilate it all in the blink of an eye with nukes. A post-nuke environment would be impossible for them to control. What is more likely, in my view, is a massive cyber attack that targets the functionality of the internet itself, and it would have to happen relatively soon. The amount of economic and business operations tied to the web is staggering. Even if the internet was to go down for a mere 2 weeks, the repercussions to our markets and to our supply chain would be devastating. You want to get rid of America, especially take down the internet. By extension, the benefits to the globalists would be immense. They could implement filters and firewalls on any part of the web that they don't like, including the alternative media, and claim that this is to protect the internet from possible sources of viral spread. They could whittle the web down to only a handful of approved corporate and government sites, all in the name of protecting the integrity of the net. That's very insightful. Think about it. If the internet is down for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, there will be utter chaos. There will be food disruption. There will be problems all over. And the only people that will have a voice are the people that are on TV that doesn't come through the internet, like ABC and CBS and NBC and all the commies out there. They're going to be able to tell you what's going on, but people with the internet will not be able to broadcast what they say is going on. And articles like this that are on these alternative or right-wing sites will all be forbidden after that, saying that they're protecting the internet. This is not improbable. This is a very, very probable situation. As he said, they're not going to send out nukes. They're not going to go down that road yet. That's really end time stuff. But right now they're going to do something. There'll be an attack maybe. This is all speculation. But if it happens, they'll have an attack and then it'll be blamed on somebody. And the next thing you know, we're going to have other problems come up. And this is the logical outcome of it. Furthermore, such an attack would be a perfect scapegoat for the already crashing economy and rising inflation. Oh, you just blame it on that because people are so dumb that they just don't remember 10 minutes ago that the price of gas was already $4 and going to $5. So it doesn't matter what you tell them. Once you say that this was a result of what happened with the cyber attack, then all of a sudden people will give up their rights and say, we need to get this fixed. We need our lives back. At that point, the central banks that are truly responsible for our financial instability could simply say that everything was about to go back to normal until Russia or China spread the cyber virus. And maybe Russia will be involved, but it will not be Putin that gives the order. It will be his globalist partners behind the curtain. The hype machine surrounding Ukraine is in overdrive right now. It's a little bizarre to me how much panic and indignance is being drummed up. It is as if people have forgotten that the U.S. government just spent well over a decade devastating a country like Iraq for no good reason. No one seems to be mentioning the hypocrisy of demanding an all-out war against Russia when U.S. campaigns in Iraq killed hundreds of thousands of civilians and very few countries batted an eye about it. Clearly, the controlled media is trying to convince the Western people to support direct military confrontation with Russia over a conflict that has nothing to do with us. There are even numerous GOP neocons out there campaigning for true conservatives to go along with war footing. But what has worked as an effective manipulation against conservatives in the past? The globalists need another Pearl Harbor, another 9/11, or something even bigger. They need something that will enrage the American population, specifically conservatives. They need a crisis of epic proportions to lure us into an emotional response and the abandonment of logic. They also need a scapegoat disaster that they can use to lay the blame for the impending economic crisis. I predict this event will come in the form of a large-scale cyber attack, and the escalation of these events suggests to me that they will try to implement such an attack in the near term, perhaps within the next couple of months, and certainly before the year is over. Now, we're already in March, so that means they've got 7 months. Wait a minute. I have to use my fingers to count. 9 months. They have 9 months before the year is over. And he predicts that this is going to happen. So we'll see if he's blowing smoke or if he's correct. This is not about Russia. It is not about Ukraine. The real war is between free peoples and the globalists. When they are removed and their puppets are removed, the majority of these disasters will stop. As long as they remain in power, the crisis events will only accelerate and increase in frequency until they find something that works, something that makes most people willing to give up their liberties in exchange for the false promise of security. It didn't work with the supposed pandemic. We had a couple of governors stand up against it, and it all fell to pieces. And they have to try something else. And they're already planning these things. I mean, they've already done the exercises, which means that this guy thinks that it's going to happen soon, just like it did after they had the exercise with the COVID and then they had the COVID pandemic. So if this is the case, we could be facing a completely different world in a very short amount of time. And this is because the election, yes, it was stolen. The election was stolen from Donald Trump. The globalists moved in and they have done every single thing they can to stop the production and the productivity of the United States of America, cutting the oil out, cutting out the infrastructure, sending money where it doesn't belong, funding people that should not be funded, and working on treaties that should not be written. They are doing these things in order to support Russia, Iran, and China. And then the lesser people like Venezuela are already supporting them. India may go with Russia. All of these things are coming into place right now. These articles are just out of the regular news, but it is showing us something that is going on. The last article is speculation, but it is very good speculation that something like this, and it may be just that, is coming. And when it does, things are going to change dramatically. My recommendation, America, keep your powder dry. That's what I recommend. I got a couple more articles for you. Breitbart. This is just one of those funny things I try to add in at the end so you're not so depressed, because I know that the midweek reports can be depressing. On Sunday, we have people laughing and we're kind of interacting and I say things that make people smile. The midweek report is a little more somber. So here's something funny that happened this past week. CNN, ABC, CBS, BBC, and Bloomberg, all lefty news organizations, all of them cease Russian broadcasting because of Kremlin's Misinformation Act. If you have fake news, we are going to prosecute you. And so the fake news left, because that's all they have is fake news. And then from Mail Online, this is something I want you to think about. It's something I want you to consider. From Ukraine to Hollywood, how Mila Kunis's Jewish parents fled to LA with $250 to escape Soviet anti-Semitism when she was seven, and 2 years later used their meager savings to pay for acting classes that launched her career. Now, I don't know who this person is, but she's very wealthy. The thing that got me was they were going to donate $3 million to the Ukraine cause because she's from the Ukraine. Now, these people came here with $250 in their pocket. $250. And they started a new life, and now she is a multimillionaire. And they were able, within just a couple of years, to save enough money to fund her class that launched her career. Okay, what does that mean for you? Because you might be working in a job right now that you're not doing well. You might not be excelling in life. And there's a difference between people like them and you. You have things. You have a TV, you have rent, you have a car, and you have things that you don't want to lose. And so instead of working and taking all the risks you can, you just stay comfortable because you don't want to lose anything. Here's an example. I tell people this quite often. People are in the projects that we have seen there for 4 and 5 generations. They've never left the projects. They've never had a job in their life. They get enough money from the government to keep them going. But if they make more money on the side, then they get kicked out of the projects. And so the government has them. They're literally slaves down there. Because if they do get a job and they make enough money, then they have to leave the projects, but it'll never be enough money for them to leave the projects. And so they'll end up on the streets. So they've got them in this cell, this prison cell called the projects all over America. But once in a while, you'll see somebody move in, maybe from China or from Egypt or something. And I've told people this many times. If I gave $100 to any of these people in the project today, by this afternoon, it would all be gone. And they would have nothing to show for it. It would just be completely evaporated. But if I was to take this $100 bill and give it to a Chinese person that moved into the projects just to get started because he doesn't have anything in America, he just got here off the boat, in a year and a half, that guy would be inviting me to his house because he had started a business, he had bought a car, he had bought a house, and he wants to thank me for the $100 I gave him to help get started in his new life in America. What is the difference between them? The difference is that guy has nothing to lose. The people who have been in the projects for a long time have everything to lose. If they take any money and they get caught with that, then out they go. And they won't be able to survive on the outside. But the guy that came from China has skills. He has ability. He has 2 hands and 2 feet. And so he gets up and he goes out and he invests the little he has, saving as much as he can in order to get productive. So if you want to get ahead in this life, and it may be all moot point now anyway because the world's kind of devolving. But if you want to get ahead in this life, you have to have the attitude that I have nothing to lose. Man, Jesus is on your side. If you're a Christian, he's already there with you. He's going to take care of you. But you just say, I'm going to do what these people have done. I'm going to save every single penny I can. Charlie Garrett doesn't have a cell phone and he never will because it's an unnecessary expense. There are all kinds of things that we don't have in our house. We haven't had cable for 25 years, okay? Because I believe in saving money for something that may come along that needs to be done. My son has a wedding and I want to get him a nice wedding present or something, whatever. But you need to learn to save money. And you have to say to yourself, I have nothing to lose. I am going to work for what I want. And from there, you will succeed just like these people did because they were willing to think through their future. The people in the projects cannot do that. So remember that lesson from me. Remember to turn your clocks forward on Saturday. And let me read you something from the book of 2 Corinthians, and then we'll be done. This is 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are people out there that are dying apart from Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. You may be dead tomorrow. They may be dead tomorrow. And if you haven't taken the time to tell them about Jesus, there will be no hope for them when they stand before a holy God. It is our responsibility to do this, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's such a simple thing to do. I mean, it's so simple that even Charlie Garrett was able to figure it out. That's how simple God had to make it. A dummy like me was able to say, I get it. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. I accept that God did that on my behalf and my sins are forgiven. He did this for you and he asks you to do that for others now. Tell them, not to die for them, but to tell them what Jesus did. Take the time to tell people about Jesus. You see him in the store once a week. You see him at the restaurant once in a while. You see him on the street every day. Stop. Tell them about Jesus and let them know that today is the day of salvation. Bad times are coming ahead in this world. People need Jesus. The Psalms say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You got to open your mouth in order to say so. Please do it today. Please understand that Jesus loves you and he loves them too, and that he would like you to go out and to tell the saving message of Jesus. Please do that, all right? So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your Midweek CG Report.